The Pesukim in Perakid Beis in Shmos. Everybody has the place. The subject that I want to discuss is Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach of Mitzrayim. Now, in other words, Pesach Mitzrayim is an unusual thing just to begin with, because you know that the Korban Pesach is a regular mitzvah. It's one of Tayag, and Tayag and mitzvahs were given, of course, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, were given at Sinai. But nevertheless, the Jews were commanded in the Karbon, in the mitzvah of Pesach, before the Exodus, before they left Mitzrayim. Of course, the question is why? Why were they given this particular mitzvah? What's the significance of Pesach Mitzrayim? All right, that's the basic idea. All right, so it says that Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'Aharon be'aretz Yisrael lemor hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim. This is this month will be the first of the month. Rishon hu lachem l'chadshei hashana. Davu al kadas Yisrael leimor, speak to the congregation of Israel and say be'esor lachodesh hazeh, on the 10th day of this month, that's the 10th of Nisan, v'yikula hem ish selaveis avo selaboyim. Each person should take a sheep for each family. Alright, then it says that if there's not enough people, because you're not supposed to leave over any part of the seh, so then you can join in with your neighbors, and together you can be designated. Because you have to, the people that are going to partake of the carbon have to be designated for that carbon in advance. Okay? Then it says what kind of a sheep it has to be, and so forth. Then it says, V'haylechem l'mishmeres adar bo'as yom l'chorish hazeh. We'll soon see what that means. You shall guard it until the 14th. What does it mean, you shall guard it? Then v'shachtu oso, then they have to slaughter the animal. All right, then in Zion, they v'lokhu as adam, you should take the blood, v'nestin al shteyam zuz v'alamashko, and you have to put it on the doorposts, on the houses that, the sprinkling the blood on the doorposts, on the houses that it's going to be eaten in. All right, then it says that they will eat the meat on that night, roasted, with matzos and with bitter herbs shall it be eaten. You can't eat from it raw, nor cooked in water, but only roasted over the fire, and it has to be roasted completely, its head with its feet, with the innards, with the insides. All of it has to be, it has to be roasted complete. Then velosifir menag boker. Okay, then it can't be, none of the meat should be left over till the morning, and that which is left over till the morning has to be burned. Now, yid aleph is very important. And thus shall you eat it. In other words, there's a special way in which they have to eat it. Your loin should be girded, in other words, you have to have your, like your belt, so to speak. Your, has to be, all these things that we're going to be reading means ready to travel. Malechem, your shoes on your feet, your staffs in your hand. So all these three things have, Rashi says, Mosnechem Hagurim, your loin should be girded. Muzumanim laderech, ready for the road. In other words, you have to eat it in a state all set to leave the house. And of course they used to carry a staff with them. That's the idea of Makelchem Biedchem. It's not just an arbitrary thing, though. That's the way they would travel. They'd be, you know, their coat, so to speak, would be bound with a belt, and of course shoes on their feet, and their staffs in there. And you have to eat it in a hurried way. Eat it quickly. Pesach hu l'Hashem, it's a Pesach to God. Then, of course, it says, "Yavarti beretz Mitzrayim olay l'zeh, I shall go through Mitzrayim on this night, v'kasi kol b'chor beretz Mitzrayim, and I will smite all the firstborn of Mitzrayim, from man unto beast, and in all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." And well, just one more pasuk, and it says that this blood will be for a sign on the houses that you are in, and that's also, Rashi points out, lachem lios, that the blood was placed inside. It was visible to the people inside. It wasn't visible to the people outside. It's lachem, for you a sign, on the houses that you are in, and I will see the blood, and I will skip over you, and there will not be any plague to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Alright, so this is basically the psukim which pertain to the Pesach of Mitzrayim. Now, my basic a question. There's a number of questions over here. Now, the underlying question, as I said, is that why were the Jews given this particular mitzvah of Korban Pesach more than any other mitzvah? Korban Pesach is one of Tayag mitzvahs. All right, we don't have the mitzvah today because it's contingent upon the Beis HaMikdash. Right? But what was so special? That the Jews had to have the mitzvah. Moreover, you see that it's not just that they had to do a mitzvah, but this mitzvah is very much related to the Geula. It's very much related to the Geula. How do you see that it's related to the Geula? Because of the blood. In other words, it was a necessary condition for being redeemed. Right? The idea is that those who sprinkled the blood of the Pesach, so they were saved. And those who did not, weren't saved. So it was more than just that they were given a mitzvah, but it was an integral aspect of the Geula, the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. Okay. Yes?
You said it was given for the mitzvah.
Well, the other mitzvahs were given at Sinai, weren't they?
Yes, so this is...
So when was this given? At Sinai or prior? I'm sorry?
Prior.
Yeah, Rashi brings the Mila. We'll take that up, don't worry. Okay. But the Mila is... we'll take that up. Okay. Moreover, there are certain differences, though, between the Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. Are you familiar with that? All right. The Ramban points it out. Because the Pesach was incorporated as one of Tayag. That's true. But it's not identical to the Pesach of Mitzrayim. Now the Ramban on that is on Pasuk Tes. Al tochlu b'menu noh uvashel. You shouldn't eat from it raw or cooked in water. So the Ramban says, zu mitzvah l'doros. This is a mitzvah l'doros. This is permanent. It's an integral part of the Korban Pesach. Shech, and then he makes a distinction. Shekola mitzvos b'chan b'gufa Pesach, because all the mitzvahs that you find over here in the gufa Pesach, in the substance of the Pesach, the entity of the Pesach, mitzvah l'doros, they are permanent. Aval mitzvah ba'ochlim, but the commandments about the eaters, the ones who eat them, kagon, masnechem chagurim, the belt, v'adam al hamashko, and blood on the doorposts, Einenu rak v'Pesach Mitzrayim. They are only in Pesach Mitzrayim. You see, so the Ramban makes a very neat distinction. In other words, those things that pertain to what we call the entity, the Cheftish al Mitzvah, they're permanent. See? But those things that pertain to the way in which was eaten, which we would call the Maisa Achila, how they did the Maisa Achila in Mitzrayim, that's not permanent. In other words, you don't have to, if we had a Beis HaMikdash today, we'd have to do a Korban Pesach. We wouldn't have to eat it the way they ate it, with our belts on, whatever, you know, we would consider our equivalent, or with our shoes on, and with the staffs in our hand. Nor would we have the sprinkling of the blood. You see?
Well, we have to shoot it.
I'm sorry, why? Good point. I just want to point out then, of course, the question is why? Why are these things pertain only to the Pesach Mitzrayim? If it's part of Korban Pesach, so it should be permanent. Just like we see the things in the object. Also, there are other differences, which Leslie pointed out. The mitzvah of Kicha Ba'asar, the fact that they set aside the Seh on the, and that's the whole idea of Shabbos HaGadol. They set aside the Seh on the 10th day. That was done only in Mitzrayim. There was no obligation to do that in future years when they had it. That was a special mitzvah then. Okay? So, Dam al Hamashkof, again, Dam al Hamashkof, Kichub, taking it on the 10th, and all of the specifics of the way it was eaten, the manner in which it was eaten, pertain only to Mitzrayim and not Ludoros. You see, so the question of course is why? What do these things represent?
So the Shmir doesn't relate to that.
No. This is only the Rashi. I'm going to get into the Rashi in a minute.
Into the Ramban as well.
Yes, it doesn't contradict the Ramban at all. because the Ramban wasn't talking about that. Because that's something else. That's not part. No. The Ramban was talking about the actual mitzvah. The actual mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which entails, you know, slaughtering it and eating it. So the Ramban was saying that in that framework, we only carry over the things that pertain to the object, not to the way they ate it. But there's an additional argument. He neglected to point out the factor of kicha, but that's a separate point. That wasn't it. Yeah, that's the machshir. Right. Rashi points it out. Rashi deals with that. No problem on the Ramban. He just didn't mention it. He thought that everybody would notice that. He didn't think it was a hot, you know, there's no reason why he has to point it out. Rashi points out on Gimel, Dabru Hayom, which says Dabru, speak to the congregation of Israel. Dabru Hayom, Rosh Chodesh, speak to them on Rosh Chodesh, Sheikhu Be'asar. In other words, Moshe was commanded to speak to them on Rosh Chodesh, to tell them to take it on the 10th day. Pesach Mitzrayim, Mikhu Be'asar, Velo Pesach Doros. It's only Pesach Mitzrayim which has to be taken, which has to be set aside on the 10th day, and not Pesach Doros. Okay. So those are my questions. Next. Yes, David? That's a good point. Well, I mean, it's a good question. That's right. That's true. Right. The only thing is, though, that the requirement of Migdash, you see, the requirement of Migdash is once the base of Migdash was built. That's not a integral type of a thing. Before we had a base of Migdash, they had carbon on Bomos. They were, and also you see the Avos brought carbonos. So. Yeah, but they had carbonos. They had carbonos. In other words, like this, clearly, I mean, there's a relationship between the Pesach Lodoros, you know what I mean? It's Pesach, it's carbon Pesach. And now you see that there's a relationship. There has to be a relationship because you see it's Almasas of Merom Yochlu. I mean, it's tied in with the whole observance of Pesach. You see? So in Pesach Mitzrayim was tied in with the whole Geula, and Pesach Lodoros is tied in with that. There's obviously a relationship, but there are differences as well. That's what I want to focus in on. Yeah. I'm not going to explain exactly in what sense it's similar and what sense. I'm only going to concentrate on Pesach Mitzrayim today. Okay, yes? Leslie?
In Pesach Mitzrayim, you had said that people who didn't perform the mitzvah, they got left there, they died.
Well, it says that it's, the implication is that those who didn't have the dam on the mashkov, well, what else? You know, it says if the pasuk says, "Risi is a dam v'lo yia b'chem negev l'mashkov," right? What? First what?
Firstborn. The mashkov falls on the firstborn.
All right. So for the firstborn, I mean. With regard to the mitzvah of kicha b'asar. Rashi points out that the mitzvah was to set it aside on the 10th day. But it was more than just setting it aside on the 10th day. Okay, take a look at it, because it says, V'hoi lechem l'mishmeres, pasuk vav. And it shall be unto you l'mishmeres, it should be guarded. Right? Now take a look at Rashi over there. V'hoi lechem l'mishmeres. So Rashi says, Zeh loshon bikur. Bikur, what does it mean, bikur? Biker cholim. Biker means to visit. Biker means you had to check it. It required to be checked. Examination. Good. Sheton biker mimum. It required examination from mum. Dalajavim kodim shchita. In other words, the idea of setting it aside on the 10th day and mahoyal lechem l'mishmeres means not just to set it aside, but to keep it in a state of being examined for 4 days. Examined from what? From a mum. A mum is a blemish. Some type of physical blemish which invalidates the animal from being a korban. Now Rashi asks the important question. Why did God cause the taking to precede the Shechita 4 days? Mashal Otziv came in Pesach Doros. It's not God didn't command us in Pesach Doros. Hay Rav Mashi ben Cheresh Omer. So Rav Mashi ben Cheresh said, Harei Omer, it says in Yecheskel, Ve'ever Alayich, and I passed over you, Ve'erech, and it means God, prior to the redemption, passed over the Jews, so to speak, and saw you. Vine itcha es dudim, and behold, it was a time of love. The time was a time of love. Higia shvua, the oath that I had shenishbati li Avraham, that I had sworn to Avraham, shegar les banav, that I would redeem his sons. So this is the time had come for that. Velohaya biyadam mitzvos l'asik behem, and they didn't have any mitzvos in order to be involved in. Kidei shiigalo, in order that they should be redeemed, they were lacking in mitzvos. And apparently that was an obstacle to their being redeemed. Shenemar, it says, Viat Aaron Vieria, you were naked. We recite this in the Haggadah, of course, at the Seder. So in other words, the time of love had arrived, the time for God to keep the promise to redeem them had arrived, but they were naked, they were lacking in mitzvos, so they couldn't be redeemed. V'nasalam shtei mitzvos. And he gave to them two mitzvahs, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Here's where Mila comes in. The Dam of Pesach and the Dam of Mila. Shemalu biyosu alayla. They circumcised themselves on that night. Shenema misposesses b'damayah. God saw them, they were immersed in their blood. Two blood. Mishnei damim. In two blood. Right? Okay, then he quotes another pasuk to corroborate the same idea. So of course, now Rashi explains. He gives the reason why they had to have a special mitzvah of kicha. The mitzvah was that they should examine it from mum for 4 days before the time of the Karban Pesach, right? And then he says the reason is because they didn't have the time of love had arrived. They didn't have mitzvahs in order to be redeemed. So he gave them two mitzvahs. Now there's another mitzvah thrown in, the two bloods. So of course, as Leslie points out, the question is, what is the significance? I mean, so now we understand they have to have the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, whatever. But how does Dam Mila fit into the picture? Of course, you see that there is the blood of circumcision. You see that there's a relationship between the two. So we have to know why these particular mitzvahs. Kol Orei Lo Yochal Ba, anyone that was uncircumcised couldn't eat the Karban Pesach. So apparently there's some kind of a relationship. So why these two are essential for being redeemed is something that we have to understand. But before we get into that, there's, I think, another Rashi which provides us with a real contradiction to what's being said over here. The basic idea now. The basic idea is that the time for their redemption had come, and they were ready to be redeemed, and they couldn't be redeemed because they were naked. They didn't have mitzvahs. Now there's another Rashi, I believe, which completely contradicts this idea. Is anybody familiar with what I'm talking about? Right. Yes. That's true.
You only last pasuk says.
Yeah. Well.
It's a pasuk that God heard the malchusim and heard their cryings and that was time to be delivered. Right. That was independent of the fact they had mitzvahs.
Right.
So in other words.
Well, maybe that was a precondition. Maybe that was a precondition. God heard their screams and their oppression, and then he gave them the mitzvahs. The precondition. That's what Rashi's saying. It's a precondition. It's true that they had. It's true that they had to go through this experience and all that. But perhaps there was a precondition. Yes. That they had reached the
three things
he's saying, you see, Chazal had indicated they were fit to be redeemed because they kept their own identity and so forth. But I was thinking, yes,
there was another Rashi that put in their time.
They put in their time.
Yeah, 400 years was boiled down to 210.
That's true. Okay, take a look. No, I mean, these points are all correct. But I think there's a more pertinent Rashi over here. Take a look at Shemos Gimel, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And that's when Moshe, by the snare, when God spoke to Moshe and told him that he wanted to go down to Mitzrayim, right? And to be the instrument to remove the Jews from their bondage. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Moshe el Elokim, and Moshe said to God, Mi anochi ki yelech al Paro? Who am I that I should go to Paro? V'chi oti es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, and that I should take the b'nei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So how many questions do you have over here? It would seem that there's one question, but Rashi learns that there are two. Vayomer, and God said, Ki eye imach, because I will be with you. V'zelecha'os, ki anochi shlachticha. And this is the sign that I have sent you. Botziach ha'am in Mitzrayim, when you take out the people from Mitzrayim, tavdim esolokim alahorazeh, they will worship God on this mountain. So the answer doesn't seem to fit the question. I mean, what is it? What is the sign? The sign is, what is the sign that I've sent you? The sign is that when you take them out of Egypt, they'll worship God on this mountain. So how is that a sign that I've sent you? What's going on over here? Well, Rashi learns altogether different. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Vayomer ki yeye imach, Heshivo al Rishon Rishon, V'al Achron Achron. Right? Because Rashi learns there were two questions. If you take a look at Yud Aleph, Mi anochi, who am I? Ma'ani chashil adabrim hamalachim. So Rashi learns that the first question was about himself. Who am I? Who am I to speak to kings? I'm not fit. Moshe was saying, I just don't have the qualities to speak to a king. V'chiyotzi es b'nei Yisrael. So Rashi says, V'afim chashiv ani. And even if you say that I am fit, ma zachu Yisrael. What merit do the Jews have? Sheyasu lahem neis. That a miracle should be done for them. Votziyem Mitzrayim. So really, Rashi learns there were two questions. Moshe asked one question about himself, that he doesn't have the ability for the mission. But then another question was, he doesn't understand God's way. Why do the Jews merit that God should bring about a change in the order to perform miracles to take them out of Egypt? They don't have any merit. I'm sorry? Well, he promised the Avos, but apparently Moshe held. He didn't understand just because you promised the Avos. But it has to make sense. It has to reflect itself. I mean, God doesn't just make it. You know, it's not like by a personal life promise. It's like a father with a child. The father promised, and now the child isn't worthy of the thing at all. But you can't. You promised. I mean, he understood. Moshe understood that God's promise is because it would make sense that the God promised means the entity is going to be worth something. But he took a look at the Jewish people, the way he saw them in Mitzrayim, and he said that they are completely unworthy. There's no point. Okay. Yeah, but Moshe apparently looked at their condition right now and he saw that there's no purpose in this nation. They have no purpose. They're not on a level where they would warrant God's intervention. In other words, the way he saw them, they were no different than any other people. Moshe, I would say, was pretty disillusioned with their conduct. He didn't find them having any merit. I'm sorry? That's right. So Moshe held that they have to have some merit. All right, God promised the Kasha. But he wanted to understand what's the promise. Right. Moshe wanted to know what is the quality that you have found in them. Well, it wasn't just Dasan and Aviram, it was the whole nation. Alright, so then Vayomer ki eyeimach, Heshivo al Rishon Rishon, V'al Achron Achron. He answered him on the first question first, and on the second one, second. Shemartu mi'anochi ki erecho paro. Well, you said, who am I? That I should go to Paro. Lo shalachi. It's not yours. Ki yim shali. In other words, you're not the one that's going to bring it about. You're just an instrument. It's not dependent upon your own ability. So that, therefore, you don't have to ask, who are you? Ki eye imach. Because I will be with you. V'zeh amare asher isa b'sneh, and this vision that you saw in the sneh, l'cho ha'os, that is the sign, ki anochi shlaticha, that I have sent you, v'tatzliach b'shlichusi, and you will succeed in my shlichus. Uchadayani lahatil, and I have the power to save. Kasher isa sneh osa shlichusai. Just like you saw the sneh fulfills my shlichus v'einenu uko, and it doesn't get consumed. Kach teilach v'shlichusi v'einchan nizo. So Rashi learns that v'zelucha os kanochi shlachticha goes back on the first part. I will be with you, and this meaning to say, the sneh, the burning bush, will be the sign that you'll succeed. That I have the power to protect you. You can go into Mitzrayim amongst all your enemies, and you won't be harmed. V'shesha alta maskus yesh li Yisrael, and that which you ask. What merit do the Jews have? She yetzu Mitzrayim, that they should go out of Egypt. Dover gadol yesh li al hotza zu. I have something, a great thing concerning this hotza with me. Sharei asidim lekabel haTorah al ha'har hazeh. Because they are destined to receive the Torah on this mountain, Lusov Gimel Chadashim, Sheyetim in Mitzrayim. In other words, so God acknowledged that it was a good question. Yeah. Well, what, by virtue of what shall they be redeemed? So what's God saying? Not by virtue of anything right now, but why? By virtue of the fact that they're going to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. What does that mean, in effect? What's that? Forget about this for a second. Hold it a second. Hold a second, I'm upset. But what does this mean? Yeah. In other words, the reason, the merit is not to be found in anything which is right now. But what was Moshe? Moshe didn't know that there's such a thing. He didn't know that there's a system of Torah. Moshe looked at their nature, and he saw that their nature was basically corrupt. And he didn't understand if they're corrupt, they don't deserve to be taken out. For what purpose? Why would God bring about changes? Well, I don't know. It makes sense, of course. Of course it meant, well, yeah, I know, but there wasn't a system. I don't know if it means literally a system of Tariyak. Let's put it this way. The answer is that Moshe couldn't foresee the manner in which the Torah would change them over. That's what he couldn't foresee. In other words, that's Dover Gadol Yeshli. I have something great over here. So of course Moshe knew that there's such a thing as Torah, that God has God can reveal the Torah. But Moshe thought that the people have to be on a level. If people are on a high level, they can receive the Torah. See, Moshe didn't realize the whole manner in which the Torah could take a person on a level of corruption and bring about a complete change. Right. Yeah, of course. Okay, there were problems. But the thing is like this, though. So how does this fit in with what Rashi said about the mitzvah of Ticha, though? How does this contradict? In other words, it seems to me that it's a contradiction. You see the contradiction? Yeah. What? Go ahead.
On one hand, you see that the zechus of being, having a ru'ula was based on doing that one mitzvah.
Right, exactly.
And here it's based on a couple of things.
Yeah. In other words, the question is that first, Rashi says that the time of love had arrived, but they didn't have mitzvot. They needed mitzvot in order to be redeemed. They couldn't be redeemed without mitzvot. They weren't worthy of being redeemed without mitzvot, right? But before Rashi had said that what? They're not worthy of being redeemed right now, but the fact is they'll receive mitzvot later on, and the mitzvot will transform them, and on that basis they're worthy of being redeemed. They're worthy of being redeemed due to what they're going to become in the future, which I said, Moshe apparently couldn't see this. He couldn't understand how people could be transformed. That's because he didn't know that the whole nature of the Torah system. That's exactly, the Torah system is designed to relate to a person who is corrupt and to raise him to a higher level. That's where I think the Dover Gadol is. If that's the case, so you understand the question. Mark, you know what I'm talking about?
Who versus the whole Torah?
In other words, if the matter shot, do you have to be working now, right? I said, then I understand this Rashi. You have to have mitzvot now. So then what is God saying? So what was Moshe's question? Yeah, why did God, when God answered, God should have said, I'm going to give them mitzvot in Mitzrayim, and that'll make them worthy. But God didn't say that. God said they're going to serve me on Har Sinai. Oh, so when they accept the mitzvot, then they'll be worthy. That's what it's for. Not that they're worthy right now.
According to other Rashi, later on.
So then later on Rashi is saying is that they can't, they don't deserve, they're not worthy of being redeemed if they don't have mitzvot. That's a contradiction. No, they don't have to have mitzvot. They're going to get mitzvot later. That's the thing, yes?
Maybe they have to demonstrate that they were about to be a beautiful
Right. Okay. That's the answer. That's true. That's exactly what I'm going to say. But of course, yeah, if I just say it like that, it's not going to take a certain time factor. I want to expand on that thing, though. You're right. I want to expand on that thing. Of course, show how it fits into these, you know, the two particular things, you know, the specifics. Yeah. Apparently not. Apparently not. Okay. All right, so I want to say basically the Utopia thing is that to answer these questions, you have to understand the concept of the Geula, of the redemption from its Mitzrayim. In other words, the redemption from its Mitzrayim was not just the removal from an oppressing force, but there was a basic transformation. In other words, there's a basic transformation in the nature of the people. Now, to understand this a little bit better, so you have to realize that Mitzrayim has a very significant symbolical significance. Mitzrayim is more than just where do you see that Mitzrayim has an important symbolical significance aside from the physical Mitzrayim? Well, that's exactly the Mitzrayim. There's another law. There's another mitzvah of the Torah that pertains to Mitzrayim. You can't return to Mitzrayim. It's brought down, of course, in the Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim Perikei Alav Hazayin. Mutar Lishkom Mechol Olam is permitted to live in the entire world, Chutz Me'aretz Mitzrayim, with the exception of the land of Mitzrayim. Minayam Er gives the boundary, so you should know. Hakol Asa Lis Yashiv Ba. It's prohibited to dwell therein. Then he says, "B'shloshim makamos zira Torah shelo loshev l'Mitzrayim." In three places, the Torah commanded not to return to Mitzrayim. Shenema lo sosif and loshev v'derech hazaod. You shouldn't continue to return this way. Then it says, "Lo sosif oderoso." You shouldn't see it anymore. Lo sosif oderoso madolam. So. That's right, 311. Of course, there's. That's true. It's a whole controversy of how the Rambam himself was able to live there, but I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a separate question. Why? What's the reason for that? Why can't you live in Mitzrayim? Yeah, because that's right. See, Mitzrayim represents the epitome of a certain type of a culture. What type of a culture? The epitome of the primitive idolatrous mentality. I'm sorry? Pagan, which expressed itself in three main areas. Avodah Zarah, magic. They were steeped in magic. That's another expression of the idolatrous personality. You see that every time that Moshe performed the miracles, so Paro had his chartumim, his magicians. And the third aspect was the fantasy of immortality. You see, they built these tremendous pyramids and the whole fantasy. All of these are the three major elements of the primitive. And Mitzrayim, more than any other society, apparently represents the epitome of a society which is steeped in the primitive idolatrous culture. Now you see like this, you see that the experience of the avdus, of the oppression in Mitzrayim, was an essential component in the formation of the nation. There's no question about that. You see that God that promised to Abraham that there would be a stranger in a foreign land, right? That was important in order to form the Jews into a nation, right? And it was, and the experience of the Abdus was also important. As we said a number of times, Chazal say that God went to all the nations and offered them the Torah, and all the nations rejected it because they asked, "What is it restricts the instincts? You can't steal, you can't murder, etc." Now the Jews were the only people because they had been completely deprived. They had been completely deprived from the physical, so they were capable of listening to the idea that there might be another value. You see, when a person is in prison, when a person's in jail, all of his life he's pursuing the physical. As long as he feels he can have the physical, his natural desire is to pursue the physical. When he's deprived from the physical, so he has nothing else, so then if you tell him that there's another value, there's a better value, then he's willing to listen. But if he's not, the ordinary will not be willing to listen. So all this was necessary, you see? And that's what it means, higia eis dudim. In other words, God passed over and saw that they had gone through the process of forming from individuals into a nation. The experience of the enslavement that separated them. They became unified, they became a people. They had all the elements of peoplehood. But there was only one problem. And that's what the Lori referred to. That they had been corrupted, they were steeped in the corruption of Mitzrayim. Because they had been subjected to the culture, to the primitive culture, which had a tremendous attraction to the personality. That's why it says, this is expressed in many ideas, that God determined the exact moment when they had to be redeemed. You know, Chazal said there were 50 gates of Tumah, and the Jews were, on the 49th? And if they would have stayed a moment longer, then it would have been too late. It would have been past the point of no return. So therefore,
so the fact that, like what Lady said, that they kept them from their own existence shows that they demonstrated the ability to be a unified people.
Yes, they were unified, that's right.
No, so that's why
that's fine.
I don't say that redeems them. Because they still have that characteristic of maintaining their oneness in a media efficient society.
Yes, that's true. But the point, what I'm trying to say is like this. Is that it is true? It's true that the ultimate purpose, the ultimate objective of the Exodus, was for them to receive the Torah. However, they had to be in a certain state where they could receive the Torah. That's what Toby said before. In other words, before they could even be in a state where they could receive the Torah, they first had to go through a process of separation from Mitzrayim. They had to separate themselves from the primitive culture of Mitzrayim. And if they could not do that, in other words, not every person is subject, you see, is like Toby said, a bar hachi of being affected by the Torah. The objective of the Geula was to effectuate a separation. They had to emerge from the primitive culture of Mitzrayim, yes?
In fact, there's a nice way to show why that's necessary, because you see that some of the Egyptians came along with them. And it was these people who caused, who instigated this Avodah Zarah at the mountain there. So these people were never really removed from that culture.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's a good point. That's right. The Arab Rav. Yes? Yeah. That's right. That's right, exactly. You see, that's true. You see from the Dharma model that that people, a nation, can reach a point where it's irreversible. Where the damage, the corruption has reached a point where it's irreversible. Now, I just want to know, how was the process to be effectuated? Let's go step by step now. What had to be done? So, let's take up the idea of the two damim, the two bloods, Mila and Karban Pesach. What does Mila represent? Sorry? Ol Malchus Shemayim? Well, okay, but let's get more specific. See, I'm dealing, in other words, like this, right? In other words, Mila and Pesach represents two sides of one coin. See? As the Ramban explained, see, there are two aspects to the primitive personality. There are two aspects to the primitive personality. One is that the person lives, in other words, his way of life is dictated by the instinctual. That's one side of it. You follow? In other words, the instinctual, most people are drawn after the instinctual. That which is satisfying to the instincts is the good. They associate the good with that which is satisfying to the instincts. See, that's one side, because that's the primitive personality. A person, when he's a child, right? So, whatever he experiences being pleasurable to him, that's the good. Now, Mila represents the recognition that the true good of man is totally different than that which is pleasant to the personality, that which is pleasant on the instinctual level. That's what Mila represents. The Ramban explains that Mila has a symbolical significance. That the real Mila is to remove the foreskin of the heart. Because he says that every taifa, every passion that a person has, causes a distortion in terms of his true understanding of reality. It's a barrier between him and God. You see? So the uncircumcised person is the one who's living on the primitive instinctual level, which is the way most people live. That is to say, where their entire philosophy of life is guided by the instinctual. The good is the instinctual satisfaction. That's what they're pursuing. That's one side of the coin. That's one aspect of the primitive personality. What is the other side of the primitive personality? See, the primitive personality is not just looking for instinctual gratification, but it also has a certain world outlook, a certain philosophy of life. The religious emotion is also a very powerful thing. Now, what is the religion of the primitive personality? The religion of the primitive personality is idolatry. You see? That is the idea. The whole system of idolatry is the one that corresponds to a person who's living on the purely instinctual level. That's exactly the system. That's the type of system which is dictated. If you will, you see, all the primitive tribes, they all had religion, and all these religions were idolatry. Yes?
I think 5 years ago, weren't they saying that first they wanted to have, they were very promiscuous, and then after they wanted to have a party, then they...
That's right. The two things, it's true. Exactly. The two things go together. You see, the two things do go together. That promiscuous behavior and idolatry go together. It says, once they had gone down, once their idea of God had deteriorated, they had gone to the idea of an intermediary, the egel, it's an intermediary, but it wasn't just an intermediary. It meant to say that they are now going to gratify these primitive emotions, so then by Kimotzachik, then all the emotions came out. You see? Once they removed that, but then all the emotions, then by Kimotzachik, and Kimotzachik means incestuous, the sexual, forbidden sexual relations. The two go together. Sodom and Amora? Ryan, about that time. That's a good question. That's a good question. Let me. They're very cruel. I would imagine that they were, but I mean, specific proof will have to. Yeah? You find that in Canaan, though, the nations of Canaan that inhabited the land. Both areas of sin. In other words, the sexual, right, and the and idolatry of Avodah Zarah. Yes. Right.
By the whatever that thank God, we were physically breaking them by slaughtering
everything. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So that's why these two. See, that's why they had to be given these two mitzvahs. See, that's why they had to be given these two mitzvos. The purpose of these two mitzvos was different than the mitzvos that they're being given at Sinai. Sinai is the entire system of perfection. It's the whole way of life. The purpose of these two mitzvos was to extricate them from, to break down that primitive personality. You see? That's what they had to do. They couldn't be on a level to receive mitzvos until they effectuated a separation from the primitive mentality of Mitzvah. That's why you had two things. That's the two Danim. The Dam Mila. The Dam Mila represents overcoming the force of the instinct, the primitive in terms of the purely instinctual. And then you have Karbon. And that's why the Chol Orei, I'll go into expand upon Karbon. Now you see, what's the whole concept? Look, just give me a minute over here, lady. The whole concept of Karbon is a very, very important idea. You see, for example, the Rambam says about Avraham Avinu that he lived amongst idolaters and so forth, and after he discovered the true idea of God, so he went around debating with people and trying to prove to them with proofs that their ideas were false, right? And he said to them, Ein roi lavod ela leloka olam, that it's only fitting to serve, to worship the God of the universe. V'lo roi l'shtachavos, and to him is it fitting to bow, ulahakriv, and to bring sacrifices, ulanasech, and to pour libations, kidei shiyakiru kol abrum habayim, in order that all the future generations should recognize God. So the question, when I learned this, the question struck me, why, if he saw it, he understood all the problems, how people had come to this low level because of their primitive emotions, he should have told them not to sacrifice at all. What do you need sacrifice for? That they should be involved in the knowledge of God, to relate to God in the proper way. It doesn't require that you sacrifice to God. But no, he told them about the true God, and to him is it fitting to sacrifice. Because he recognized, as the Rambam says, that it would have been impossible to get people to give up the emotion of sacrifice. It's a very, very powerful thing, a very powerful religious emotion. If you're going to take that away from them, so forget it, they're going to be lost. It's impossible. But what he hoped to do, and in this way he was anticipating the whole system of Torah, was to take those very same emotions. You see, not to give, you don't ask people to give up their emotions, but rather to attach those emotions to a complete God brought down their God, the Kocham. In other words, like this, that they were, the Ramban explains, that the point was to take that object which the Egyptians revered, you see, and to use that object as a, to slaughter it, and to see that nothing would happen. See, that was to break their tie to the primitive concept of the Mitzrayim. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the mum, I just want to get the. Let me explain in terms of the mum. See, the mum means it's a completely different type of an entity. In other words, you're no longer attached to the carbon as a physical object, but it's a halachic entity. You see, it's a halachic. In other words, you can't be attached to this object as a physical thing. Because any slight mum can invalidate it. That means they were being introduced to a completely new idea, the idea of a hefta shel mitzvah. That's something that they had never had before. That's why, you see, now in future generations that wasn't required. Because once they were given the Torah, so they were trained in this whole system of mitzvah, halachic system. You have a complete halachic system. But in the very first Pesach, you see, it was necessary to establish it as a totally different type of performance. That's why they had to have the mitzvah of Kicha Ba'asar. What else? Yeah, this idea is expressed in the very word Pesach. Why is it called Pesach? Why is it called Pesach? Take a look at Rashi explains. And that's the whole idea of the Dam, by the way. V'hoya Dam Lachem La'os. So this is in Pasuk Yud Gimel. So it says, V'ra'isi es Adam, and I will see the Dam. So Rashi is a kol gol lefanav. Everything is revealed. What does it mean, I will see the blood? Everything is revealed to God. El Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu, but God said, No sein ani es einai, I will take a look, liros, to see sha'atam asukim b'mitzvosai. To see that you're asuk in my mitzvos. That you're involved, you see, that you are involved in a halachic performance. If you can extricate yourself, from the primitive religious experience and become involved in a halachic performance, uposeach ani aleichem, and I will skip over you. And Rashi said, where does it say, where does the Pasuk say, Pasuk Hashem? Rashi explains the meaning, why it's called Pesach. Pesach Hashem, that's back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Rashi is a karbon who kori Pesach. The karbon is called Pesach. Al shem adilud vapsicha, because of the skipping over, jumping over. Shekarish Baruch Hu medaleg bein bate Yisrael mi bein bate Mitzrayim, that God would skip over the houses of the Jews from amongst the houses of the Mitzrayim. V'kofet mi Mitzrayim, and God would jump, so to speak, from Egyptian to Egyptian. Yisrael emtsoi nimlat, and the Jew in the middle would be saved. Va'atem asu kol avados av l'shem shemayim, and you do all of your service l'shem shemayim. So you see, what is the term Pesach? Why is it called? What's it? It's named after the act of jumping, skipping. What does that mean? It means that on that night a separation took place. Geulas Mitzrayim means that one group separated itself from a different group. That the Jews emerged as a people who were distinct from the Mitzrayim in this particular way. In the sense that they recognize that the primitive way is a completely false way and can't lead to perfection. It only leads to destruction. And that's the whole essence of the Karban. That's why it's called that name. You know, otherwise, why give it that name? I mean, we have the name has to memorialize the fact that God jumped over. I mean, it's not to be taken literally that God jumped over. It means that God recognized the emergence of two different groups. That's why it's called Pesach. So the whole essence of Korban Pesach is to separate yourself, to be able to separate yourself from this primitive emotional involvement and attach yourself to a new approach. If you couldn't do that, then you weren't worthy of being redeemed, and then even a system of Tariyak Mitzvahs wouldn't be effective, wouldn't help you at all. That's why there's no contradiction between the two Rashis. Because what Moshe was saying is, by what merit, why are you going through this whole procedure? He was asking in terms of what distinction this people will have. And the answer is, that's because they have a certain mission. They're going to be a people which will live according to a system of Tariyak Mitzvot and reach a certain level of perfection. Yes, that's going to be in the future. And that's going to transform them. But the other Rashi, where it says that they didn't have that they had all the elements of a nation, but they weren't ready. They weren't ready yet. They needed mitzvos. That means to say that was the precondition. Those mitzvos were different. Those mitzvos were in order to set aside a group to create a gavra who was capable of being given a system and being perfected by a system of Torah. That's a completely different concept. That is to say, is this person on the level where he can redirect his emotions, can withdraw his emotions from the primitive and redirect it to a new system? The other nations of the world couldn't. The Jews also would not have been able to unless they took these first steps. And those steps really were to address themselves to the major components of the primitive personality, which is expressed in Mila and which is expressed in Karbon. Those are the two expressions, and that had to be directed then. If you don't have that, you don't have a Gavra. This person can't be redeemed. Now, there's one final thing. There's one final thing over here. I started off with the kasha that the Ramban raises as to why certain aspects of the mitzvah itself. See? The way they ate the Karbon in Mitzrayim was different, was not Ladoros. In other words, Mosteichem Hagurim, that their belts were tied, and their shoes were on their feet, and their staffs were in their hand. V'achalta Moshe b'chipazon. What's the purpose of that? Why wasn't that Ladoros? Why wasn't that maintained Ladoros? That's part of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and all the other things were Al Tochlu Menorah, and so forth.
If you're separated from the people of the land, then you don't belong in that place. So therefore, you have to live with the idea of your leaving.
Right. Good.
Maybe they were in vulnerable positions. If they were separating, maybe some hesitation might because of the slide back. If for that particular moment, you know, they have to get out of the costume with the word out of the mitzvah. You know, however, in later on, if some people were already involved in the system,
okay, I would agree. In other words, basically what you're saying, that you say again, at the moment of eating the carbon, that's the decisive point. In other words, that's when you're actually experiencing the carbon, and that could be again, what framework are you going to experience the carbon Pesach? Now the idea is that all of Mezumanim L'Darach means to say like this. That they had completely broken their identification. They weren't part of Mitzrayim anymore. In other words, it's as far as a person can go. A person can be physically in one place, but he's gone already. He's broken. You see, they were still physically in Mitzrayim, but they had to be, for example, like a person who's going on a trip, and he's all packed, and he's ready to go, and he's, I'm out of here. I'm not part of this place anymore. That was the only state in which they could, you see? In other words, they had to break away. They had to break their identification with Mitzrayim before they could eat that. As long as they retained an identification with Mitzrayim, so there was a danger that these emotions would reemerge. And the whole idea of, as I said, the staff in their hand, and not kelchem b'yad, all of these things meant to say that they were no longer in Mitzrayim. They were on the road. We're out of here. That's the shot over there. And therefore, I'll take questions in a minute, because this is my last point. That those things... The Korban Pesach was retained as one of Taryag. It's a Korban. So those things that pertain to the cheftishol mitzvah, to the entity of the mitzvah, of course, that's part of the mitzvah. But the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim was an action which demonstrated that they were separating themselves from the culture of Mitzrayim. So those things that pertained to the Pesach Mitzrayim, to the act of separation, was only them. Later on, you see, later on, of course, it didn't make sense anymore. Later on, these things were irrelevant. Kicha Ba'asar, for example. They didn't need Kicha Ba'asar because they were involved in a halachic system all year long. So this was like any other mitzvah. And all these other things, the idea of eating it in that way, b'chipazon, in a hurry, and ready to go, that's only to demonstrate that they had broken their attachment to Mitzrayim. That's because they physically were still in Mitzrayim. They hadn't left Mitzrayim yet. But once they'd accomplished the break from Mitzrayim, those things became irrelevant. Then it was simply the essence of the, then it was the essence of Karban Pesach. The essence of Karban Pesach are those things that are related to the chesed, to the entity. Those things were retained with Doros. Okay, now I'll take questions. Yes?
Don't we see that many times,
I think that's the idea. You see, the idea of separating, the idea of the Geula from Mitzrayim, of separation from Mitzrayim, I think that ties in with the mitzvah of not to return. See? In other words, that when the Jews broke away from Mitzrayim as a nation, they had to break away in a way which was permanent. It's a shear in Geula Mitzrayim, in other words. You see? That you can never go back there. You can never. Why? Because if you recognize what Mitzrayim represents, yeah, if you recognize what it represents, it's not just that you break away, but you can never go back. Whoever goes back to Mitzrayim means he's drawn. He's drawn after something which Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is too significant as a symbol of the primitive culture, that if a person goes back there, it's a sign of corruption. Like Lot was drawn to Sodom and Amorah. Unless he goes back for other reasons. Yeah, obviously the Rambam.
But the Torah's not the same place today as it is. But they
That's true, it's not the same. Well, I don't know how far they've come. Yes. That's true. I think you're right. The thing is like this, that first of all, you have to realize that...
Well, no, because no other nation, you see,
There's the object of Mitzrayim, then the subject of Mitzrayim. In other words, like this, yes. For example, you shouldn't go, like, a person shouldn't go to Germany. The Torah didn't prohibit Germany. But, I mean, after what the Germans did on Moloch, I mean, people shouldn't go there. There's no Issa because the Torah didn't formulate. There was no Germany at the time, and you have to use your judgment. If there should be another nation, if another nation should arise, which you see is pretty much the same, you should avoid it. But objectively, the Torah defined one place. The Torah said Mitzrayim objectively represents this. Now, when that's the essence of Mitzrayim, you see, so then even thousands of years later, that's what it means, in other words. Symbolically speaking, that's what it has that effect on our psyche. And as Toby points out, when you do go there, you see, you are drawn to the pyramids, to the whole culture. You see, even today, with the they discover these mummies of these kings. What was his name? Tut, King Tut. The whole world got all excited about it. So these things effect a tremendous hold on the imagination. So that's the way the Torah system works. No, but for the Jews, it should represent. No, for us, it can't. For us, it has to represent the height of corruption. They shouldn't go there, in Achinami. The Torah, but as I say, if you want to talk about a specific Isser, the Torah didn't ask for every land. The Torah said, objectively speaking, this is a land of corruption. If there are other places that are like that, you shouldn't go there too. I'm sorry, though, but it's not fair. Just one more time, because I had called on Jeff before. I just wanted to tie it in. That the Issa to return, you see, is tied in with the Chiyuv to separate. To separate yourself from that. Good.
Except that the whole thing is breaking with the identification. So.
Right.
However, every time they faced any problems, they were ready to run right back to China as a nation.
That's right. Yeah, right. That shows exactly my point. That this was a very... That this was a problem. That God had to... No. It means like this. What does it mean like this? It means like this. You see... It means like this. From the fact that they were drawn to go back only shows you that this was a significant problem that had to be overcome. It means like this. That the sin qua non, the precondition was that they do certain actions that separate. Then it doesn't mean to say that these are, because they always have bechira. Then it depends upon what level they reach. In other words, had they not done these things, they would not be roi, and they wouldn't have bechira. So God had to give them these mitzvos in order to enable them to effectuate a break. Now, once that break was effectuated, they now had bechira. And then not all the Jews, not all the Jews went back and wanted to go back. Some did. You see? But it doesn't mean to say that it's going to be a permanent, there's nothing like that, in other words, unless you lose your bechira. The fact of the matter is that God also did it, for example, there's other things, you see. For example, God had promised them that before they go, they won't go empty-handed. That the Egyptians will—they'll find favor. All of a sudden, there'll be a tremendous favor. They'll find favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayim, and they'll give them gifts. They'll look at, what's the reason for that? Why is that important? And if it's just something that's going to happen, why is the Torah tell us about it? The answer is because there was another problem associated with the with being slaves in Mitzrayim. That is the slave mentality. I didn't talk about that. I talked about the fact of being steeped in the culture. But the other aspect of the problem was, see, Mitzrayim was a double-edged sword. Mitzrayim was necessary in order to put the Jews in a condition where they'd be willing to pursue a spiritual value. But then there's also the danger of Mitzrayim. A person is broken. A slave has no self-confidence. A person with no self-confidence, how you can't build a nation? So therefore, God took certain steps by the Makos to break down the Mitzrayim. But the most important step was that the very people who had humiliated them, who had subjected them, in the end looked up to them and gave them gifts and gave them respect. Why was that necessary? Because God wanted to take measures to restore their self-confidence as a people. Otherwise, they couldn't function. Elbi, you'll tell me, but you see later on in the desert when they had problems with the spies, they were afraid, they lacked the self-confidence, they were afraid to enter the land. So eventually, that generation did succumb to the slave mentality. But that doesn't count. In other words, God took measures, right, to work the balance so that by the use of their bechir, they'd be able to overcome it. Without these steps, they would never be able to overcome it. But God only gave them a precondition to overcome it. Whether they'll overcome it or not overcome it, that's up to their bechira. You see what I'm saying? They still had bechira. That's my answer. They broke it to the extent that they were now worthy of receiving a Torah. But under certain pressures, they built an ego. You see, they made the ego. They revert.
They really never broke the generation. They just had a...
Yes, they did. If they didn't break, then they wouldn't have been able to accept the Torah. No Hashem Lokecha. The Jews as a nation went away from idolatry. As a nation, they maintained monotheism. Of course, there were times when they failed. They went back into it again. But they'd never have been able to have a nation...
Now it wasn't immersed in them.
That's right. Now you could have a nation that stands for monotheism.